B-Pod Studios.
Dutcher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy's a piece of work, huh?
Dutcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. It is Dutcher and Rich. And everyone's angry in Brookline. Real 911 calls from the people of Brookline, Massachusetts, which, as we've learned, is one of the strangest, angriest places in the entire country. A lot of petty phone calls about petty things. And for a while, we've been taking those calls and playing them on the air. But I mentioned something a little while back. I said, you know, I wonder if there's any other city that might be interesting, as interesting as Brookline. Brookline's kind of a special kind of weird, the way there is. There's tons of money there, so there's feeling.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy's a piece of work, huh?
Dutcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. It is Dutcher and Rich. And everyone's angry in Brookline. Real 911 calls from the people of Brookline, Massachusetts, which, as we've learned, is one of the strangest, angriest places in the entire country. A lot of petty phone calls about petty things. And for a while, we've been taking those calls and playing them on the air, but I mentioned something a little while back. I said, you know, I wonder if there's any other city that might be interesting as Brookline. Brookline's kind of a special kind of weird, the way there is. There's tons of money there, so there's feelings of entitlement, and you hear that in a lot of these calls, and just how petty some of them are. There's a dispensary there, so there's, you know, a little bit of that. You're pretty close to, you know, the city, so they don't like some of the city folk coming into their part of town. It's
Brookline definitely has its own sections. Like there's Route 9. There's like the like where they're all, like the nice schools are, like Cleveland Circle.
Yeah, there's
area.
There's this village over by
the village. There's Coolidge
Street.
Corner area.
I used to live. Yep.
So it's a special kind of weird, and it's almost set up perfectly for these 911 calls. But I said, hey, is there any other city out there that maybe I hadn't been thinking about that you might get the same or maybe even a different kind of dynamic where you would find very interesting calls? And there was one town or one area that stood out amongst the rest that a ton of people suggested, and I didn't quite get why, but I did the people's bidding, and that area was Marblehead.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I used to live the next town over.
Okay. Why should Marblehead be interesting?
Because it is a secluded spot. It's up against the coast. And Joe, back me up on this. There is a crapload of money in that town.
Big time money, mansions, beaches, and that's it.
And okay. People pay the extra money to be secluded because it's off the beaten path. There's no main highway that goes right by.
I believe you can only enter either through Swampscott or
exactly.
Salem.
Or no, you can go up. You can come up from the south through Lynn, take 1A, and go that way.
Okay, here's what I know about Marblehead. Is that every time I go there, the first thing I see is, oh my God, this place is unbelievable.
It's beautiful.
And the second thing is, oh my God, it's going to take me 15 hours to get back to Boston. Yeah,
correct.
Like, I mean, it's so far off the highway, and maybe that's the way they want it. And maybe that's why
it's on the ocean.
And maybe that's why people were suggesting Marblehead, is maybe there's this feeling of entitlement. I'm not sure. All I know is that I got the calls. I got the 911 calls. So we have a twist today.
So what are rich people calling for?
We are moving locations from Brookline.
Let's get out of the city.
To North Shore 911.
Yeah.
I have a little twist to this series.
That's
why
right.
don't we insert Shane Knighty into
the
it?
Sheriff.
Or the sheriff.
Or better yet, we insert Marblehead into Brookline 911.
What are the McMansion people call in for?
And as I said, I was like, fine. A lot of people seem to think that this would be an interesting place. I don't know what you're looking for. And then I got the phone calls. So, ladies and gentlemen, these are real 911 calls to the Marblehead Police Department.
Yes.
Let's start with, are you doing these or me, Dan? Am I? I'm doing them? Okay, all right, let me pull these up here. As the phones start lighting up of people who know what we're talking about. Once again, this was all new to me, but I listened to your advice. Here is call number one to Brookline, or Marblehead, rather, 911.
Marblehead Police, report to them.
Hi there. I do want to talk to someone who might be able to help me with my son. He's being frustratingly oppositional, and I wondered if there's someone I could talk to.
Okay. And how old is he?
14.
Okay. And is this happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just refusing to go to camp, and he's just like lying around in bed, and he's just... This is a pattern with him.
Okay.
Imagine calling.
I mean,
that's calling the police on your children?
Well, no, it's not even that. It's that the parenting is so poor that you're going to call the police to come force this kid to go to camp.
Being oppositional.
Frustratingly so.
Rich is shocked. His mouth is just open.
This is a 911. Isn't the first line when they pick up his 911, what's your emergency?
Yeah,
my kid's playing video games.
Yeah.
He won't come to dinner. Have a cop come over here and show him who's boss. Oh, my God.
This is worse than kicking dirt in the field.
Oh, man.
This might be one of the worst.
Marvelous police reporter, thanks. Hi there. I do want to talk to someone who might be able to help me with my son. He's being frustratingly oppositional, and I wondered if there's someone I could talk to.
Okay. And how old is he?
14.
Okay. And is this happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just refusing to go to camp, and he's just like lying around in bed, and he's just... This is a pattern with him, and we've got to find a way to break the pattern. He's just being really difficult.
Okay, let me have a cruiser come up.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, that is the best.
Dan has a good point. He said, this is scared straight Marblehead. The police show up and force the kid to get out of bed and go to summer camp.
We got a problem. We got a problem on Lover's Lane. What is it?
Devereaux Beach Lane.
This damn kid was not playing Fortnite. And I love it, too. It's like, oh, he's heading to camp. He's just...
Yeah, he's just refusing to go to camp, and he's just...
Imagine being so bad a parent that you have to call a cop on your kid because they're not listening to you. And by the way, much respect to the lady at the end of this, because she just straight up just goes, I'm not dealing with this. I'm sending a cop.
Yep.
She said, I'm not even going to try to debate you. I'm going to keep my mouth shut, and you're getting a cop coming your way. I mean, it's like...
He's just being really difficult.
Okay, let me have a cruiser come up.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, now I get it.
Jesus. So they call the cop. The kid gets scared because he sees the cop and then gets up.
Someone just said, this is John from Vegas. This is just like that scene in Blow where Johnny Depp's parents turn him in.
Yeah.
Someone said, there's someone you can talk to, ma'am. Your husband.
Yeah. Or a doctor. Oppositional defiant disorder, ODD.
So let me get this straight. A 14-year-old teenager just wants to sleep? Well, that's what teens do.
Maybe he's stoned.
Maybe he is. Maybe he is. All right. Well, we continue with these calls. Once again, Marblehead was suggested. I didn't understand why. And then I got the tapes, and I'm like, all right, man. Now I get it.
And if you've been through Marblehead, it's just mansions.
You understand. Yep.
And a beautiful, beautiful beaches and a nice downtown, and that's about it.
Yeah. Somebody said new Touch and Rich shirt. Frustratingly oppositional. All right, let's get to another 911 call from Marblehead, of all places. Here we go.
Police,
go off.
Yeah, I'm calling. I got a complaint. There's a guy washing his boat with a power washer in the street, and this guy's out on a public street with a pressure washer washing his boat. That shouldn't be done.
Okay, and what's your name?
A boat on a trailer. My name is, I don't want it to come back to me. I mean, I'm a neighbor, let's put it that way. Okay? And, you know, this guy just moved in there about, 6 months or a year ago, and Doesn't make any difference whether he's been there 20 years. Nobody's supposed to pressure wash the bottom of a boat in a restricted area. You can't do that at the yacht clubs or anything else. It has to be.
Go to the yacht club if you want to do that. Next thing you know, this guy's going to be washing his car in his front yard.
Wow. The water's everywhere.
But Dennis Eckersley better not live in Marblehead. That some bitch going to be out there.
That's a problem.
You're going to be calling him saying, hey, man, the old P-Wagon needs a rub down.
Washing a boat on a public street. Well, that happens in every community.
He's new.
Moved in there about 6 months or a year ago, and it doesn't make any difference whether he's been there 20 years. Nobody's supposed to pressure wash the bottom of a boat in a restricted area. You can't do that at the yacht clubs or anything else. It has to be in an area where the water's contained.
Okay, and pleading ignorance, because I don't know the law, what is a restricted area? Where can they do it?
Well, like in a boatyard at the Eastern Yacht Club, you just can't wash your boat on the dock. So the last thing this guy should be doing is doing it in a public street.
Okay.
He's got a red pickup truck and a boat hooked to the back of it. And it's...
this is obviously a massive boat. It's on the back of a pickup truck. This guy thinks it's like a yacht. This guy's rubbing it. It's like the Titanic. It's taking up all the space in the room. Do it at the yacht club like a normal, respectful human being.
At the Eastern Yacht Club, you just can't wash your boat on the dock. So the last thing this guy should be doing is doing it in a public street.
Okay.
He's got a red pickup truck and a boat hooked to the back of it. And it's... he just shouldn't do it, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
By the way, that guy didn't even say that they were going to send a cop. He was like, okay, cool, man. Bye. Yeah. All right, we're done. This phone call is over with. Oh, my God. This is a, I never knew.
Imagine if someone called the cops on you for, like, washing your car.
Let's go to Aaron. Aaron on line one. Aaron, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Yeah, I do work in Marblehead. My business is mostly out of Marblehead. Let me tell you something. These people suck. They are the worst people that you've ever had to deal with. All they do is they bitch and moan. They want everything done by that. They have all this money. They are the worst. You guys should do this every week. You're going to get some great phone calls by these people because they are the worst.
Dude, I never knew. Like, I mean, it was just it was funny because I mentioned it. I was like, hey, are there any other cities? And I was thinking, Revere, Everett, that might be going. But I mean, overwhelmingly, people are like, dude, go to Marblehead. And I was like, Marblehead looks like a pleasant place. It looks gorgeous out there. I know everyone seems like they're extremely happy. And then, of course, you end up getting things like...
he's just refusing to go to camp, and he's just, lying around in bed.
Oh, this stuff is too good. All right, well, we have more of that. More where that came from, believe it or not. And we will continue with a special edition of not Brookline 911, but Marblehead 911 right after this.
My son, he's being frustratingly oppositional.
Toucher and Rich. Wrestling Inside the Ropes, a weekly podcast for WWE fans with James Stewart and Mike Riley.
The Rock knows exactly who you are.
Available at 985thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app.
You know, when you're hiring, you don't want to waste time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Don't, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Everyone's angry in Brookline. Everyone's feeling stressed. Where the people there are surly, and the average age is dead.
They're smoking.
Where the locals find new reasons just to moan and bitch and whine.
The geese were following you.
Nobody's having a good time, because everyone's angry in Brookline.
They don't belong here.
There's an aggressive group of turkeys.
I don't like Brookline.
It's Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. I, a couple of weeks ago, just said, hey, listen, we've been taking these calls. Brookline's a special kind of place for there's a weird mix of people and things going on, and it makes for very strange and sometimes entitled and weird 911 calls. Is there any other city like that I'm just not even thinking about? And, I mean, it was, to be quite unexpected, the majority of the people who said, well, Marblehead. And Marblehead was so far off my radar. As I said, I was thinking of places like, you know, Revere or Brockton or somebody like, you know, some Cambridge. But the fact that all of these people like seem to know something that I didn't know, and then I got the calls, and now I thank you. I applaud you, good people, for pointing me in that direction.
Because in Brookline, you have city problems. This weird guy's walking along the street. He's parking in my spot.
Yeah.
It's simple stuff, but you get out in the suburbs, especially an entitled rich suburb, and the game changes a little.
See, the thing about Marblehead that I knew beforehand was when you show up and you go there, it's like you walked into the Truman Show.
Yeah.
It's like heaven. It's gorgeous. Yeah. Everywhere you look, oh my God. Like, how could anyone have any sort of problems? So when people were suggesting that, and now I understand why, because of some of the calls we got. Jeremy, real quick. We'll go to Jeremy on line three. We have a few more calls to do. Jeremy, what's up?
Yes, how are you?
Hey.
Good. So I used to work for UPS out in Marblehead, and I did it for 4 years. Normally, you have dog treats in the truck for all the dogs, because there's a lot of dog walkers in Marblehead, but walking around. So one time, I'm coming back from my truck after delivering a package, and this lady's sitting there with her dog right by my door. So I pet the dog and say, hey, have a good afternoon. I get up on my truck. I turn around. She's like, where are you going? I'm like, I got to go do my stuff. So have a good day. She goes, you're not going to give a treat to my dog. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't have the truck that I normally have today. So I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't have a treat. She goes, my dog is going to be so upset. What kind of UPS driver are you? You don't have a stupid freaking treat for my dog? I'm like, lady, won't you just go to your house and get him a treat? She goes, he's going to mope home all the way home and not have a treat. I'm like, I have to deal with this dog all day. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Are you serious?
You just keep treats in your pocket.
I guess so. All right.
Known better.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, let's get to our next 911 call. Once again, these are real calls to the Marblehead 911.
I have a little twist.
It's a little twist. It's not Brookline.
Why don't we insert Marblehead Jay Nighy into it? Mm-hmm. The sheriff.
All right, so let's get to it. Here's our next call to Marblehead 911.
Marblehead, please record it, line.
My television does not work.
I don't mean to stop.
Marblehead, please record it, line.
My television does not work. It has not worked all morning. And I thought all the neighbors were out. But it's not. It's me. And it keeps putting on it, no signal, press input. Well, I don't have any input on this.
That's obvious. That's blatantly obvious, ma'am. You have no input.
So how do you think the person responds?
I'm about to say something really sexist. I don't think women, first of all, in the first place, understand the audio input button. I don't think I've ever had a woman in my life who hasn't asked me, how do I get it from one thing to the next? It's like, well, it's this button right here. Well, I don't understand the concept. But this lady took it to the next level, and she called 911 for help with this. Something makes me think that she's a regular caller to this line.
Do you think she has cable?
And it keeps putting her on it. No signal. Press input. Well, I don't have any input on this. And so I haven't had television all day. But I've lived here for about 18 years, and I've had television right up until today.
Okay.
Everything else is working fine. Yes, it's just that the television doesn't, and the sign keeps coming on. So it says no signal.
Okay.
Press input. Well, of course, I don't have any input here.
Okay. Do you have cable TV or do you use an antenna?
Oh no.
That's when her head exploded. You see, I turn on the TV and there's TV. Well, do you have cable or is it antenna? And I love how they, and by the way, kudos to the 911 operators, by the way, continuing to keep their cool through all of this. They're just like, all right, let's let her speak her piece.
Okay. Do you have cable TV or do you use an antenna?
Well, I've got a television that was installed here, which I've been using ever since I've been here, and it's been fine.
Okay. All right. Well, let me see if I can figure out who to put my hands on to help you get that figured out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I mean,
she has no idea Those people, those 911 operators, we say this a lot in Brookline. These people are saints.
Right.
It's all of them.
I'll contact the Geek Squad Department of the police.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And they'll come over with their cool suits and try to jiggle the thing in the back. Our IT guy will be over there. He looks a lot like John Wallach, if you know what he looks like.
So if you're
a police, not a bad thing.
If you're a police officer in Marblehead, you need to, like, know how to, like, work cable and know the water lines, you know, what you can use for power washing and what you can't.
I'm thinking this is probably an easy fix for any police officer that shows up at that lady's apartment or home or whatever the case may be. I don't think this is a difficult thing. This is a call you probably want to go on because it'll be done in like 4 seconds.
Mm. Wow.
And then there's this one. And this one was just different than the rest. Let's just let this one roll. Real calls to Brookline. Marblehead's 911. As it just disappeared.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I don't know what just happened here. So, is this in...
It's the grand finale, too.
I know. What are we going to do? Here, let's go. Let's take this call real quick while we're waiting. Let's go to Michael. Michael, line one. What's up, man?
What's up, man? I already have a different perspective of Marblehead. I am somebody who is actually a blue-collar working skip who's forced to live with these creatures.
Forced? How are you forced?
I'm forced to live with these creatures. No, but it's a nice town, believe me. I have no problem living there, but these people exist. I'm the guy that shows up to, like, the school meetings with a Misfits t-shirt on, and you should see the look like that. With, like, a sleeve of tattoos. You know, I gave my kid a pot tie. He's sitting at the bus stop. You would have thought I gave him a cigarette. The looks I was getting from these people. I'm giving my kid a pot tie.
All right, man. Well, appreciate the call. Okay, here we go. Here's our final call.
Marblehead, please still in your calls recorded.
Oh, hi. I'm just calling. I'm sure this is totally normal, but I just thought, like, sometimes when you see something that's unusual that you should just, like, say something. Mm-hmm. You're just driving home from Old Town, and there was a kid walking. He had like, pretend armor on, but he also had, like, a giant sword thing.
And where did you see him?
I'm on Abbott Street. He was at the very top of Abbott Street, kind of walking down towards Jersey. And it just kind of seemed a little unusual, and he looked kind of angry.
Okay, I'll somebody take a look for him.
Okay, bye. Okay.
We found John Wallach in Marblehead.
Well, you know what the Marblehead mascot is, right?
It's the Marblehead Magicians, my friend. I had a listener bring that to my attention, and he's right. They're the Marblehead Magicians.
He's LARPing all over Marblehead.
He had, like, pretend armor on, but he also had, like, a giant sword thing.
John, ready to go to thy fantasy LARP.
And it just kind of seemed a little unusual, and he looked kind of angry.
Yes, he did. All right.
Find me that Burger King.
Fixing all the televisions.
Well, all I can say is thank you to our listeners, because I would have had no idea. Hang on. Is this really him? Line three. Guy from Machine?
Yeah, hey. Is this
Guy from Machine, how are you doing?
How are you? What's going on?
Oh my goodness! This is Guy from Machine. How are you doing?
This guy with the blue eyes, right?
Yes. No, I do not have the blue eyes. I am the hunky one. Yes, I'm the better looking of the two of us.
Oh, whatever. What's going on?
How are you doing? What have you been up to?
Well, I've been working a lot and stuff, but you know, my schedule's kind of tight. So, what y'all doing at the radio station now?
Well, we miss you. That's one thing that we're doing. Wow, I had no idea you were going to call in this morning. It's been a long time. Do you miss Nick?
Yeah. How's Nick doing?
He almost died, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, again?
Yes, almost again.
He's going to die.
That's right. Now, did the fact that he almost died make him even more attractive? The fact that he could have completely been gone, did it make him even more attractive?
Yeah, I know, he told me the whole story. He came in the club and told me about it.
Ah, goodness gracious. How you doing? I heard, yeah. Is Machine still going to stick around, or is the bar closing down?
Yeah, it's closing a couple, within a couple of months. So I just want to make sure to tell everybody to come to the machine just to have a drink or just come to karaoke or even stop in and have a pitcher of beer and leave and get in the Uber and go home.
Okay.
You know, before it shuts down, yeah.
Is there going to be like a big like party that you know, like the final night or anything like that?
Yeah, they're going to have a big closing party. Yeah, they're going to have a big closing party.
Oh, we got to stop by. We have to stop by.
Yeah, a big closing party, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to put you on hold, and I want Nick to talk to you about when he can come by and talk to you next. Because it's been a long time since we've had a visit from Guy from Machine.
Okay. I'll hold on for Nick, okay?
Okay, all right. And do you want to say anything to Fred, even though he's not here?
Well, I just want to say, excuse me, shout out to Freddy. Yeah.
All right, we appreciate a Guy from Machine. Wow, how about that? A call from Guy from Machine to close things out.
Nowhere.
It just doesn't get any better than this. We find a new city to do 911 mm-hmm. with. We've got the Guy from Machine calling in. By the way,
I have a little twist.
It's a little twist. That's right.
Series. Why don't we insert Shane Knighty into it?
Or just Marblehead. If you have any other suggestions of cities that are going to end up being as good as that one, then I will take them gladly.
Nick. I think we've only scratched the surface of Marblehead, though. There's plenty there.
I guess so. All right. We will go to Joe Murray's headlines right after this.
Marvelous News Reporter Line. Hi there. I do want to talk to someone who might be able to help me with my son. He's being frustratingly oppositional, and I wondered if there's someone I could talk to.
Okay. And how old is he?
14.
Okay. And is this happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just refusing to go to camp, and he's just like lying around in bed, and he's just... This is a pattern with him, and we've got to find a way to break the pattern. He's just being really difficult.
Okay, let me have a cruiser come up.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher.
I didn't get to be a sports expert until 2009.
Rich.
You would think you were at a children's birthday party.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You puny protozoa, you're so minute you didn't know the gang has been watching you, but instead of just squashing you, I'm scooping you up out of the muck you wallowing like a chief chemist. Other scientists are following, planning to examine you on a petri dish. I'm clever with science, but never relying on false words from cowards who forever be trying, insisting they come off.
Not if I was Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich. Real quick, just wrapping up kind of what we just did. There was an article that came out. It was sent several times from The Patch.
Yes.
You guys read The Patch?
I did. I did when I saw it. It's
local stuff.
Yeah, that's right. From the Marblehead Patch. It was an article that they wrote called Radio DJs Play Mock Marblehead 911 Calls. It says, Fred Toucher and Rich certainly co-host the Toucher and Rich Show pulled no punches as they played and made fun of 911 calls from real Marblehead residents. What are rich people calling for? Shirtin Leap said. I don't think I said that at all. I think that might have been you, John Wallach, who said
probably
that.
Probably it was me who said that, yes.
They talked about some of the stuff that was in there, and they said, this is scared straight Marblehead, where the police show forced the kid to get out of summer camp, Shirtin Leap said on the broadcast. And then they went on and started talking a little bit more and said, so many people suggested Marblehead before this. It was so off my radar, Toucher said. Well,
that was actually you.
It wasn't really. That part was actually me.
That's
but,
all right.
You know,
that's fine.
Whatever. That's fine. Hey, great. They plugged the show fine. Thank you, Patch. But the one thing that I found the best was that there are comments underneath it.
And, oh.
First of all, most everyone who lives in Marblehead was like, yeah, this is great. I've dealt with this my entire life. This is exactly what it's like.
Oh.
You know, kudos. However, there was this one comment. That Fred Toucher is the rudest DJ in the state. Mm-hmm. On the same station, however, is Michael Sarge Riley, a fine young man with a far more entertaining and popular show.
Uh-huh. He does. He has a show?
Then I say, I'd like to hear that popular show. Where does it exist?
On our podcast.
Okay, now you do.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
It is. I just thought that was the best. So I just wonder if Sarge's
well, what's the name underneath that comment?
Zayd Mullahan.
Okay. You know, I wouldn't put it by him. I wouldn't put it by him to do that.
I don't know, but I just thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
However, Michael Sarge Riley, a fine young man, has a far more entertaining and popular show. Oh, God bless you. But, I mean, I was getting suggestions. Listen, if anyone knows of any other cities that are, you know, half as interesting as that, you hit the nail on the head with Marblehead. All right, so the story came out yesterday. Is there anything more predictable than Kyrie Irving going and getting season-ending surgery to end it all? Okay, I mean, you know, it's funny. Even like Sean Grandy yesterday tweeted out, he goes, hey, surprise,
yeah,
the Nets were supposed to play the Celtics at the TD Garden next week. It's like we saw this coming from a mile away. But the thing about Kyrie that I find hysterical is that, so, you know, he didn't play at the beginning of the season. Obviously, you know, how long before he was going to play the Celtics? It was like a week and a half before that. And,
right.
And he ended up, you know, he was injured. And then he came back just in time to try to get into the All-Star game. Remember how even, like, one of the first things he said in his interview was like, hey, I might not have played that much, but you still should vote me in for the All-Star game. He was lobbying
right
hard.
And then didn't make it.
Yeah, he really wanted to play in the All-Star game. You heard him basically begging people to vote him in. And then, sure enough, as soon as the All-Star game comes and goes... what does he do? My arm. It's a cat. It's like, my arm. Oh, my arm. And all of a sudden, he's not playing anymore. And it's just, I mean, could we have all predicted that this was exactly how the season was going to turn out? If you would have told me at the beginning of the year and written everything that he was going to do, I would have said, I don't find that surprising in the least.
Brooklyn's in the playoffs right now. They're the seventh seed in the East. So if Kyrie really wanted to lead by example, I mean, I was reading somewhere that the shoulder's like 50, 60%, whatever the case may be. If you really want to lead, you play through that crap. You get your team in the playoffs. You show them what a leader does. Brooklyn's under 500, but if the season ended today, they'd be in. And they were in last year, but still, you play the rest of the year on the bad shoulder. You take them as far as you can go. But instead, Kyrie decided to shut it down, say, you know what? Durant's coming back next year. I don't want to play with these bunch of losers. And basically, that's what he called them last month. He's like, you know what? We need an upgrade. We need some different players. This is after a game in his own locker room, he said this.
He doesn't want to, at any point, embarrass himself in front of a crowd.
And you know what else?
He just doesn't have the skin for it.
And you know what else? And again, good luck dealing with the New York media at the beginning of the year next year, who will call you out on what you just did. Brooklyn's better without him. Much like the Celtics were better without him. The Celtics' record, I think, was 13-2 without him last year. Brooklyn's 8-12 with him and 500 without him. And the best part of it is you see articles on ESPN and CBS Sports. What do the Nets do now? The Nets go back to what they were doing before. They have a very good head coach in Kenny Atkinson and a lot of players who like the underdog role they've been thrust into. And by the way, they made the playoffs without him last year.
Yeah.
And they're going to make the playoffs without him this year. They have enough decent players like LeVert and Dinwiddie. They have enough guys that should get them across the finish line and make them a pain in the ass to play in the first round of the playoffs. Kyrie Irving is poison wherever he goes. And you just look at teams who have him on their roster, and then when he doesn't play, watch those teams play without him.
By the way, you showed me something a minute ago, speaking of the NBA, that made me laugh. I guess TMZ just posted a picture of Kawhi Leonard.
On vacation after the All-Star game.
Yeah, on vacation, walking around the city wearing a Kawhi Leonard
jersey. He was in Cabo. Walking around on the beach with a Kawhi Leonard jersey on.
Okay, who was the guy on the Red Sox back in like 2004 that was like notoriously used to do that? There was a guy who used to, we got calls about it. He used to wear his own jersey out.
Zolak has a story in the early 90s at the mall in Attleboro, the Emerald Square Mall. Emerald Square Mall's in Attleboro, right? and there was a guy who actually wore his own football jersey. He was playing with Zolak, wore his own football jersey to the mall to let people know that he played for the Patriots.
He's probably some like second string lineman. Who
no,
just
it was, a, it was like... a defensive back whose name I can't remember right now, but I forget who it was. But that's as lame as it gets.
Ellis Hobbs. I don't know why.
No, it wasn't Ellis Hobbs.
Mike just told me Terry Glenn went into his dad's store one time wearing a Terry Glenn jersey. It's like, you know, it's like bands where they wear their own T-shirt out and about. Yeah. It's like, you know, but wearing a jersey is like next level. That's why I thought that whole, remember when Rob Gronkowski did that thing with BB Jones?
Yes.
Porn star. And there was the picture of him with the shirt off and he was holding up the jersey next to her. The thing that I thought was most interesting about that story wasn't that, oh, hey, he's hanging out with a porn star. It was that he travels with his own jersey and just like as people take pictures of it and he wears his own jersey out and about. That to me, I found to be most interesting. And I remember we asked him about it that year. We had him on the show regularly, and he was like, yeah, I just, you know, I'm kind of proud of, you know, being on the Patriots. So
I know, but
I bring my jersey with me.
If you're recognizable, there's no need for this. Kawhi Leonard's a superstar. He won a championship last year.
That's pretty
funny. There's no need to wear your own uniform.
That's pretty damn funny. If you've ever seen an athlete wearing their own jersey out and about in the city, 617-779-0985.
That's something Marshan would have done back in the day.
Oh, sure.
Marshan would have done that.
Like when they first won the cup.
Yeah,
I mean,
he got the tattoo.
Yeah.
Him and Sagan got the matching tattoo.
No question.
I still like when Mike Napoli wore no shirt through the city.
That was good, but that's different.
And like the picture, the famous picture, he's like, it's all grainy as if like someone caught Sasquatch. Like, you know, I have the one photo of Bigfoot out in the wild. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls after this.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
No, Fred, come on, man. This is a family radio show.
No, it's not. Not really.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just heard the Bankroll Boys promo right there. Of course, Joe Murray in studio this morning, and it's always nice when you forget you made a bet with the Bankroll Boys, and all of a sudden people start tweeting, going, hey, dude, you won. The Degenerate Special. This might be 5 weeks in a row, I think, that the Degenerate Special has hit. And I don't even know what I bet on. It was that Eastern Kentucky State or something like
Colonels.
That. The Colonels.
The racist Colonels.
Yes, the racist toothless Colonels. But they ended up winning last night, and so, hey, how about that? I'm telling you, that Lifshatz, he's got some weird people
tomorrow morning, right?
In like small places.
Tomorrow morning for you guys?
Tomorrow morning we have top 25 college basketball. We have bets on the XFL tomorrow. And we will have our third preview of the Fury-Wilder fight, which will take place at the MGM tomorrow.
Which I have $50 on the draw, right? Which would pay me $850 if that happens,
there you
right?
Go. Yep.
That ain't some small hay there. Let's go to Peter on line four. Peter, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey.
I got a story about several years back. I was day drinking over kind of by Brookline Ave. The Red Sox were playing, lost the game. Vicente Padilla, he let up like 4 or 5 runs. They lost the game. So now we're over at Chipotle after the game. And right outside, the red light pulls up a bright orange Lamborghini. You're like, oh, you don't see that every day. And right inside is Vicente Padilla, the guy who lost the game, still wearing his jersey, just chilling. And looks like he had no idea what's going on.
He's driving around town with his own jersey after he just lost the game.
Yeah, and like a bright orange Lamborghini. I mean, it's like, I mean, looking for something to see. You're not thinking about that at the time. You see the car pull up, it's a red light, so he's just chilling there. I mean, windows open, and again, you look in, and like, whoa, this guy's wearing a Red Sox jersey. Oh, that's a Red Sox player who just, I mean, he's like half mile down the street from Fenway, so.
Yeah, well, and obviously still wearing his jersey.
That was the end of Padilla's career, too.
He's somebody who,
the last year.
Obviously he wanted to stay incognito in his super bright Lamborghini, which, by the way, I didn't know that Lamborghinis made SUVs until they both got stolen from that dealership the other day and got a car accident. Have you seen the video of the car accident those two got in?
Yes.
Like, it was, it might have been 5 miles an hour. Like, one was sitting at the light, and then went, and just like, it was so easily avoided. Because I was imagining it ended like a high-speed chase. And they just, spin out of the way and smashed it. No, it was just like, oops. Just rear-ended the guy at a stoplight. Real quick, let's go to Mac on line two. Mac, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey. I remember about 8 years ago, you had CM Punk on, and he had, like, a spat with Sean Merriman wearing his jersey down in, like, Hawaii or something. I don't know if you guys remember that or not.
So, again, he saw Sean Merriman wearing his own jersey?
CM Punk did. You guys interviewed him. Oh, God, I can't remember how long ago
he was
having a fight with him.
God, I forgot about that. Awesome. But, you know, we were talking about these wrestlers who come into studio because, once again, casual fan. I mentioned to you yesterday or the day before yesterday that we're going to have Lacey Evans. Isn't that her name?
It was yesterday. It was yesterday. And Joe's face lit
the
up.
Southern Belle.
Can I try to just recreate the moment, John? So just hang on one sec. I said, so Joe, we've got this wrestler coming in. I know you're familiar with all of them. Do you know Lacey Evans? And I heard this. Yeah. Like, there was an audible, like...
No, you're not selling it. The eyes popped open.
Oh, yeah.
The face got glossed over.
Like, yeah.
Really?
Like, all of a sudden, like, your universe, you just... Oh, my God. And you're like, no, listen, it's not like she's like, you know, she's a woman.
Yeah. That's the thing, though, is that she... There's, like, you know, if you ever watched in the past, there's, like, Trish Stratus and all. No, she, like, tries to be different, like a lady, you know?
lady. And so she's going to be, and I'm convinced, she's the next big thing.
Yep.
Because I don't know whether this is something that is planned and somebody very smart that WWE does whenever anyone's about to, you know, blow up and become the next big thing, that they have them do, like, you know, radio spots, whatever. But it seems like every time we get somebody in studio, like a month later, all of a sudden they're headlining WrestleMania, or they're Becky Lynch was that way.
Oh, yeah.
We had Becky Lynch in here, and of course Fred thinks that Becky Lynch was like flirting with him with the whole tongue thing or whatever.
Of course
she
was.
Did. Yeah. I'll give Fred that one. She was enjoying her time.
Yeah. Yes.
On the show that day.
She liked Bird Sarge
being,
a lot. Yeah.
Despite Sarge being there. Well, Bird, I mean, he turned beet red.
Yeah.
Bird, you admit that. Like, you like beet red when she was in studio. Redder than her hair. And then, like, you know, Elias came in, and all of a sudden Elias is everywhere and all these other guys. And they're always good. And I guess, who was the last guy we had?
Ricochet.
Yeah, Ricochet.
He's
who I
fighting
guess is
Brock Lesnar for the championship next week.
Daniel guy?
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan was in here. Remember, I was reading a spot in the studio, and you had him charge in there and scared the living crap out of me?
You guys had Sheamus once. Yeah. He won the championship. It's called the TNR bump.
It's the TNR WWE bump. Maybe there's some sort of you don't gamble on wrestling. Do you?
I don't, but you can.
See that doesn't seem
Why
like
would
it'd be
you
fair.
Do
it's well, sometimes it's predetermined. We know the result.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. How about that?
Do you know the results? Like, is there a place that on the dark net where you could go and
it's
you could find
the
out
dirt sheets?
Ooh, the dirt sheets. Is that kind of like what was on the old Joe Murray bed last night after your night at the Stockyards, eating everything on the menu?
I'm feeling good. I had to walk around a little bit, which I don't normally
okay,
do.
Okay, Joe, hang on. Level with me, Joe. Did you go doozy in the bathroom?
Not today.
Okay,
here, no.
Somebody did. And
No, I was hanging with JT. You can ask him.
Okay.
I saw you some of the time over there.
I'm like, Fred, I don't want to touch anything here. I'm glad they built that divider, Dan. Thank you very much for that.
Did anybody else go in there over the past hour? Like, it's hotter than the sun.
I don't know.
Like, somebody represented to such an extreme that the temperature went up.
Wow.
Mike says the coast might be clear now.
Okay. But, Mike, right? Did you experience that over the last hour? Okay.
He only went in a minute ago and said the coast was clear.
It was like walking into space where you just immediately, the air was thick and you just started floating.
Oh, man.
You swam through the fog.
Oh, my God.
I just, for a minute, I was just like, yep.
No, I did it before.
That is the Kowloon crew. and their big Stockyard night coming to roost at 55 Morrissey.
Dude, that prime rib though last night. Oh, man, it was good stuff.
Yes, I'm sure it was. All right. 617-779-0985. The classiest show on radio. The Red Sox are screwed. And now I'm convinced. Now I'm convinced. And it was something that I didn't expect to make that would convince me. And thanks to the very astute Dan O'Brien, our producer, he pointed out something that was said yesterday at that David Ortiz said that is that I'm now 100% convinced the Red Sox are screwed and they are going to get the hammer for cheating. We'll play that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very thick.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season? When it was going on. Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of. Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? People is not stupid. You know?
For some reason, that fit with PM Don. Just kind of worked. He had the right kind of dulcet tones. Fit right into. So yesterday was a weird day. It's Touch and Rich, by the way. And David Ortiz, you know what? 3 weeks ago when I was down in Miami, I talked to him. And when I interviewed him, we talked about Tom Brady first. And the first thing he was talking about is, pay the man. You got to pay this guy. You know, I used to say the same thing, and I'm worth it. And I'm only going to be more inspired to play. You got to pay me. And I think the same thing about Tom Brady. Even at his age, pay the man. Give him everything you want. And I said, well, what about Mookie Betts? He's like, oh, you got to trade him. And I'm like, great. Well, that was a weird... That was a weird 180 you just did from...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.